God is so good. I'm going to do I've been thinking about COVID, and COVID's been on my mind so much. Everybody's mind. Matter of fact, I'd probably say the number one question this year for anybody, or the number one thing everybody's thinking about would be COVID. And so we're going to do something that I hope is going to help you, because COVID, how many of COVID's taken a whole lot away from us? A lot. I mean, look, the first time I walked in the bank with a mask on, I felt so bad. I started looking around me when I walked in with a mask on, because I said, who had ever thought that I would walk in a bank with a mask on? It'd be required. Amen. And some of the things, and churches being shut down, and all the things that was going on, and even now, more things, there's things that are being shut down, all kinds of stuff. And so we're gonna address that for Christmas. All right, we're gonna address it today. But first, let me tell you this: a little boy drew a manger scene in his Sunday school class, and when he was done, he showed the teacher and what he had drawn. There was Mary, and there was Joseph, there was the baby Jesus, and the animals, and the shepherds, and a little chubby boy sitting by the baby Jesus. The teacher asked, who is this chubby boy in your manger scene? He replied, oh, that's little round, that, said that's round John Virgin. Okay. And my favorite of all is in the church play, the little boy comes up, the children come up, and the first one, they're the wise men, the first one says, what have you got? My gift is gold. The other guy said, what's your gift? He said, myrrh. And then asked the last guy, what's your gift? He said, Frank sent this. All right, y'all. I know some of them are so old, the first time I heard it, I kicked the sand out of my crib laughing, but that's okay. All right, get your Bible out, and we're going to turn to the number one Christmas verse of all times. The number one Christmas verse of all times. Turn to John 3:16. Turn to John 3:16. John 3:16. Stand for the reading of the word. Y'all say this with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Stretch forth your hands this way. God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you, God, that we're never in this alone. And God, even with COVID, and it's kept a lot of people apart and split up families and split up jobs and all kinds of things. One thing for sure is COVID has never kept you from coming to our side, ever. And I thank you for it right now, for what you're doing to us, Lord, and for us, Lord. And I ask you to touch all those, Lord, that would like to be here today but can't because they are sick. Remember little Walter, he's in the hospital. He's got pneumonia, and he was going to be our, well, thank you, God, he was going to be our little Jesus in the parade today, but instead he's our little angel in Pentmore Hospital. I ask you to touch him and his family and strengthen him too. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody the past is behind us, the future is ahead of us, God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. All right. Now, we've looked around. I mean, I don't know of anybody. I don't know of any job. I don't know of any place anywhere in the world that has not been affected by COVID. Amen? Everywhere I look. Well, there's Frank. Frank, did you send this? I was looking for him. I didn't see him. There he is. All right. I always give that one in honor of Frank down there. Okay. Okay. How COVID-19 stole Christmas. Amen? I know that seems a little silly, but I wanted to kind of put some silly in with it because it isn't silly. Matter of fact, it really hurts. I can't believe some of the stuff that we're having to go through. And this, you know, again, remember, initially it was going to be 14 days. Remember that? 14 days. And we're going to be back in business. And now we're going on the third year. We're getting ready to start going on the third year. You know, and it doesn't seem to be letting up because of the variants are happening and all kinds of things are going on. And what I've seen about COVID and how it has affected the world, not just Beaufort County, not just your house, how it's affected the world. But first, it's affected the world's assets. You see, standard of life and standard of living has changed for so many people because of COVID. Some people lost their jobs because of COVID. Some are losing them now because of COVID. Some businesses were shut down. They'll never open up again because of COVID. So the standard of living for many have changed. So that's assets. Okay? Then attitudes. When you start messing with somebody's standard of living, then it starts affecting their attitude. And their attitude is how they look at life. And so I've seen a lot of people, especially lately, that honestly, they sound like they're either about to or they're very close to giving up because of what's happening around them. And then actions. Once you look at things different and start looking at life through the eyes of the COVID lens, then how we handle life is different. So COVID has affected assets, of course, our standard of life. It's affected our attitude, which is how we look at life, and our actions, how we handle our lives. And everybody, there's nobody in here that your life has not been touched. I was watching the news on Black Friday. I remember the very first time I did, it was a Black Friday, and I was in B5. I was with the guys, the heroin addicts, and I noticed, I wasn't even going to talk about Black Friday, but I noticed how everybody was so depressed because they were locked up at Christmas time and locked up at the beginning of the year. So I said, we're going to talk about Black Friday. And they said, yeah, let's talk about Black Friday. We can't even get to the stores. I said, I'm not talking about that Black Friday. And they said, what kind of Black Friday are you talking about? I said, not only is it the beginning of the shopping season, the big day of the shopping season for the holidays, it's also one of the biggest days to start the holiday depression. And I talked about holiday depression. And they asked me not to stop. And so I think I talked about that for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, because they said that it had hit home so strong. And so I remember that was probably the last Black Friday that I can remember that there was actually what you could even say was a Black Friday, because then COVID came. Black Friday was once known for its deals, but now it's known for its destitution. I went into some stores, and you know, I don't like to shop in the middle of Black Friday, going there and have to fight people for an item that normally is $2, it's on sale for $1.75, and everybody's going to kill each other for it. But I do like to go in there sometimes and just look for some things they got really going on, you know, if I want to buy some stuff for the grandkids or buy some stuff for people around me, and, you know, just some nice little I love you gifts, and I just remembered you gifts. And I went in, and I noticed something. There was hardly anything marked down. It was just put out. Because people can't afford, the businesses couldn't even afford to mark the prices down. Because they're trying to recoup from all the losses that they had. And so Black Friday, in my mind, got changed from deals to destitute. And so I know you're saying, why are you going to do it? You're just going to make us all depressed before we leave here? No, actually, I promise you we're going somewhere, and it's going to be good. And so then, there's a new term that we hear for COVID, and we hear it all the time, the new normal. The new normal. The new normal. Well, the new normal is actually what you can say. It really means there's no more normal. Anything you used to hold dear and say, okay, it's going to be okay. I think we're getting ready to have advent of the fire department. Hold on just a minute. I blew out the one that's burning the green. I don't mind hanging of the greens, but I don't want the burning of the greens. Amen. Be free, little one. Amen. Okay. So this new normal is not so normal. I can't even remember. Can you remember? It's kind of like this. It's been so long since we had a what you might call a normal Christmas that I really kind of forgot what it was like. Just 2 years, and I'm already kind of going, huh? You know, I'm watching, there's no specials, and the things are really kind of going crazy, and just all this new normal is really, should be called the new abnormal. Amen. And so as I began to see that, and I began to think about people trying to do their normal Christmas shopping, do their normal giving, and they said this year it's going to be better than last year, as they're giving stuff to people, people are starting to get back together again, and things are starting to get a little bit like it was. And so, as we see this thing, watch this. What do we do? What do we do when things have gone all to pieces? What can we do to make Christmas what we would consider a good old-fashioned Christmas? What can we do that's actually gonna make things better in the middle of crazy? You see, that there's no other story in the Bible that speaks with such clarity about the power of God and the purpose of God in Christmas. See, God stepped out of eternity into time. If God hadn't stepped out of eternity into time, we would be lost. Without Christmas, there would not have been an Easter. Without Christmas, there would be so many people to say, God, you really don't know how I feel because you've never been this low before. And so John 1:14 says, and the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, we just sang Amazing Grace. The manger was a picture of grace. Now, what is grace? Mercy is deserving to be punished, but it being withheld. Grace is you don't deserve it, and God gave it to you anyway. John 3:16, we receive grace from God. Our response should be upward, gratitude to God. And it should be outward, grace should be given to others. Now, we're getting ready. In a minute, you're going to think I'm even starting to meddle a little bit, but I promise you, just hear it all the way out. And when we get through, I promise you, you'll be happy. Maybe. All right, here we go. Get ready. Now, again, let's just look at this unnecessary COVID stress, because even though this stuff is happening around us, God has given us the way to get through the stress. God has given us a way to be able to handle it, but so many people aren't handling it very well, and they're talking about the mental health crisis of our kids now, the mental health crisis of people now, because this COVID has really locked, instead of locked down, it's actually locked down people's attitudes and locked down their brains. And so, because it's unnecessary, when I say unnecessary, because we can make it in the middle of this without it tearing us all to pieces. So what we see is people have lost the meaning, the true meaning of Christmas. COVID has littered families. There's families that won't be traveling because of COVID. There's families that won't be getting together because the vaxxed and the unvaxxed, and however you want to put it, you know, and there's a lack of money. So because there's a lack of money, you'll find this stress is really starting to become distress in people's lives. So now this is looking a bit. Now again, it came without. Well, I put this there again just to be kind of cheerful in the middle of the crazy. It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. Christmas 2021. Literally, it came without some of this stuff because some folks just cannot even afford it, or if they could afford it, they can't be with somebody to share Christmas with them. That's part of the COVID stress. So let me ask a question. How many here's got money to burn this year? If they raise their hand, ushers, go to them. How many's got money to burn? I mean, a chicken wing. I was in the Chinese restaurant. Chicken wings used to be a quarter a piece. I think they were $4 a piece the other day. I even told the man, I said, you can have your chicken wing at $4 a piece. You can have it. He said, well, we got to make money. I said, but it ain't going to be my money. Sometimes the lack of money and the lack of time, the inability to do what you like to do causes something in our bodies. It causes something in our minds. It causes something in our spirit. Here's what I've noticed about people. Some people, they were doing this before, but because of COVID, now they're doing it big time. Some people, to avoid the stress and to avoid the embarrassment of not being able to get anything, or to avoid the problem of the argument back and forth, vaxxed, unvaxxed, whatever. What I've discovered is some people just hide. During the whole Christmas thing, you don't hear anything about them. You don't hear it. They don't go out. They just passively pass Christmas time and let it go by. Then there's others I call, they have the Scrooge spirit. Used to love Christmas. Used to love to have fun. Used to love to cut up with everybody. And now they got an old Scrooge attitude. And they're angry. And they don't want to talk to you about Christmas. And you're thinking that. You know, you're thinking that maybe they just got to be a grumpy. But actually, sometimes it's not that they become grumpy. It's because they can't handle what's happening. And because they can't handle the stress of what's happening, the way they handle it, they don't hide. They're not a natural passive person. Then they'll become a Scrooge. And then, oh Lord, have mercy. There's the whatevers. Whatever. 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 You know, when somebody says whatever to me, I kind of go, I wish you would just quit talking. Please. Whatever. They become defeated. They become depressed. And they're in debt. And they go, whatever. So watch this. Watch this now. Ready? It's the difference in going through the Christmas season as the world sees it and letting Christmas go through you. That's the way God sees it. COVID should not be able to take Christmas away from us. Ever. Amen? It should never be able to. So let's go look. Let's go a bit further now. I'm telling you, well, what do you do with the economy going crazy? What do you do with, you know, $4 chicken wings? I promise you nobody's getting a chicken wing from Christmas for me. Amen. Amen. I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I said, I have a two-piece special, please. And when they put them up, I said, did I order pigeons? And they said, we got to make it work. I said, well, that ain't making it work, dude. I'm going to be hungry by the time I get out of this parking lot. He said, just work with us. I said, I will. I won't come back. Amen. I don't want pigeon, two-piece pigeon meal. I want a two-piece chicken meal. Okay, so here we go. The economy has gotten crazy. Everything around us has gotten crazy. So what can I give somebody that not only, look, I've given my boys presents, and they play with the present that day, and the rest of the time they play with the boxes. Had to have it. Daddy, we got to have it. Bethany, we got to have it. Dad, they get it. And after about a week or two, I go, what happened to that thing you had to have? They said, we had it. We're through with it. What can we do? What kind of gift can we give that keeps on giving? What can we do at Christmas time with all this stress? Matter of fact, with all this stress, I'm going to tell you how to de-stress people. This is how to de-stress people. Get ready. This is how to de-stress yourself, how to de-stress people. See, the economy has an impact on Christmas and Christmas giving, but it has no effect on the meaning of Christmas, and it has no effect on the best gifts. Amen? So we'll give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that one. Come on. COVID doesn't affect the true meaning of Christmas. You see, the meaning of Christmas are the best gifts or the grace gifts. Grace gifts are affordable, they're available, they have a voice, and it echoes. Listen carefully. Grace gifts are affordable. Everybody can afford to give grace gifts. It's available to everybody. There's nobody in here that cannot get them. You don't have to look for Amazon to run their special. You don't have to wonder if Walmart's got it. I used to think that when they got on the moon, they'd find a Walmart. Now I think when they go to the moon, they're going to find a Dollar Tree, a dollar store. Amen. Yeah. So available. They have a voice. They speak very loudly, and it just echoes and echoes and echoes. And here's how you're going to help relieve stress in a lot of people's lives. Get ready. Now get ready. Grace gifts have a loud voice, and they speak to the human needs. That's why God knows what He's doing when He sent grace. Here's, and you can look it up, there's all kinds of different things, and that's fine. It depends on what book you're looking at, depends on what you see, but this is what I know I have found in my life, and I found in the ministry, is there's five basic needs. The first basic need of a person, a man or a woman, is survival. I want to live, and I want to be healthy. The second is security. I want my needs to be met. The third is social. I want to be loved. Matter of fact, everybody needs to be loved and needs to love somebody else. Significance. I want to be heard. I want my life to count. And finally, success, growth. I want to keep growing. Other gifts come and go. They fade away. But grace gifts have a great impact. And they're very, very, very loud. So let's go to the grace gifts. This is what you can give somebody today, starting today. Listen carefully. Starting today, you can relieve. How would you like to know that you could be the one to help relieve COVID stress during the holidays? It starts today. You start it because God's already given it. He's already given you, already given it to you. Now you just have to pass it on. So the very first thing, get ready. The very first thing, we're just gonna spell grace, okay? So the very first thing, grace or godly reach. Now watch this, and be careful. Here's where you're gonna sound meddling, but that's okay. I've meddled before. First, prayer. Pray for your loved ones, but don't just pray for your loved ones if they're going through something. How about tell them you're praying for them? This little Walter's been in the hospital. He went in yesterday. We went in Friday. He went in for a doctor's appointment, and then he started aspirating. I think they aspirated and he got pneumonia. Little Walter, not big Walter, little Walter. And so several times a day, I text him, I talk with him, and I always tell him, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your family. Please tell me what I can do to help. Now, it's one thing 6 months from now, when everything's over with, you go, well, you know what? When little Walter's in the hospital, I was praying for you. Guess what? It's nice, but you know what? It didn't help him then. You know why? Because it'd really be nice to know that somebody's praying for you. Tell me. I want to know you're praying for me. Don't just tell me later on or tell me, send word to me by somebody else that they're praying. No, you take the time to call somebody and tell them you're praying for them. Look, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. People need to know that they're being prayed for. Because it's an amazing thing. They did a study over several years at a major hospital in a big city. I think it was in New York. I'm not sure. But they had three classes of people that were very sick. And I think it was cancer. I believe it was cancer. There was three people that were three different classes. What they did was they had one class of people that refused prayer. Didn't want it. Leave me alone. They had a second class of people that although they didn't say they wanted prayer, people were still praying for them. And the third class, people that requested prayer and they were being prayed for. The people that didn't want prayer, didn't want anything to do with it, they died quickly. The people that did not know they were being prayed for, but they were being prayed for, they lasted a whole lot longer. But the people that requested prayer and knew people were praying for them, the other one didn't know. People that knew they were being prayed for, they lived the longest lives. People need to hear. I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. You know, I ran into somebody at Harbor Freight the other day. I ran into somebody, and when I ran into the person had some very tragic things happen to their health. And so I looked at the person, and here's what I said. I said, I want you to know you've got a friend. I want you to know that it's not going to aggravate me. You're not putting me out. I ride by your house all the time. If you need something, I'm not just going to say if you need me, call me. I'm going to put it out there. If you need something from the store as I'm coming through, I'll be glad to drop it off. If you need me to stop by and check out anything you got going on at the house, you just let me know. And when we got walked away, I said, I want you to remember, I'm praying for you, and you got a friend. That meant a whole lot more than just pray for you. Or just going, you see, people need to see this. They need to hear it. That's a grace gift. If you want to see people eliminate some of the stress in their life, you may never do a thing to help them other than pray, but if you just let them know that, you can alleviate some of their stress just knowing that somebody cares. Here it is. Now I'm getting ready to meddle. Forgiveness. I struggle with this one because I'm not sure exactly how to go about this one, this grace gift. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you don't forgive them, he won't forgive you. Does it mean you're going to go to hell? Nope. But it means that you're going to go through hell on earth. Let me ask you a question. Get ready. I'm David. I'm your friend. I love you. I'm praying for you. Have you ever noticed somebody not quite treating you right? And you prayed to God and said, God, I don't understand why they're not treating me right. And if you'd stop long enough, you'd hear God say, maybe it's because you're treating somebody else the same way. The Bible says, God's not mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. If you're having a relationship problem, instead of asking God, what's wrong with them, why don't you turn and say, God, what's wrong with me? Am I doing this to somebody else? And I'm reaping what I'm sowing. Forgiveness. People really need to be forgiven. Life's too short. I go through enough hell on earth without providing my own hell because I refuse to forgive. Amen? All right. I'll move on. Somebody say, praise God. All right. Reach. Personal. Favor. I love this. I love this. It's so awesome. It's what I did to the person the other day when I saw them in Harbor Freight. I was talking with him. Then his wife came up, and I told her the same thing. I said, because he's hard-headed. He won't listen to me when I offer it, so I'm offering it to you too. Because he just kind of played off, yeah. And I said, no, I mean it. Y'all need to hear me. I mean it. And here's what I told her. I said, if you need me, this is it. If you need me just to stop by your house and run a vacuum cleaner, I'm here. If you need me to run an errand for you, I'm here. I knew the kind of shape they were in. I said, if you just need a babysitter, I'm here. Romans 15 and 1 says, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And not please ourselves. Sometimes we think if we can't do something really great, we're not doing anything. And sometimes the smallest things. Just going by the house and mowing their lawn. Going by the house, picking up groceries and bringing it to them. Something like that. You can relieve so much stress from people. It is amazing. Get ready. We're still moving. Let's go a little bit further on this one. Time. Offer to play your loved one's favorite game. Sit and talk with them. Not preach at them. Talk with them. I find out a lot of times older folks, they're not, especially in a nursing home, if you just sit down for a few minutes and talk with them. You know, kids, if you can just sit down and talk with the kids for a little while, not preach at them, not tell them how bad they are and they're all going to hell in the handbasket. I mean, just love people. Spend some time talking with them. It's amazing how much stress you can relieve. The Bible says in Hebrews, but do good and communicate, forget not, for such sacrifices, God is well pleased with those sacrifices. Just spend some time with them. You know, I've had people tell me, say, look, you don't have time for me. You don't have time. I said, look, I'm putting it out there. You need me. Tell me, you know, I'm hooked up to something called a home wave. And if you've never had anybody in prison, you don't know what a home wave is. A home wave is actually the guys in prison, the guys at the detention center, they have this little computer screen. And on that computer screen, they can call their loved ones. And when they call their loved ones, they can see them face to face because on their computer, the people that are calling them on their computer, they can see them face to face. They can see their loved ones and they can talk to them. Well, the sheriff, now when they do this, now they're being monitored. What they're doing is they're being monitored and they're being recorded. So some of these guys get there and start talking and they might be getting greater charges because they won't keep their mouth shut. But the sheriff assured them if they want to talk to me, and it cost them, they have to pay for it. If they want to talk to me, it's free. It doesn't cost anybody anything. They do not monitor it and do not record it. So they can feel free to talk to me whenever they want to. The only problem is I've got to turn the light on. And so Tuesday night after service, I go turn the light on. The guys will start talking to me. Well, I tell the guys when I go in there, I say, look, now, if you see the light come on, you go ahead and do it. And they'll say, but you're busy and we don't want to put an extra burden on you. You know what I tell them? If you see that light turned on, that means I'm available and I'm asking you if you need help to call me. As long as that light's on, you're not interrupting me because I have to initiate it. So when you see the light, you feel free to talk to me. Now, the same way. So many people feel like they're putting you out by you helping them. You got to show them it's okay. I'm fine. I'm offering it to you. Please take advantage of it. And it's amazing how you can relieve stress. Look at all these Christmas gifts we're given without spending a dime. And then sometimes it's leaving them alone. There's times in our lives when we want nothing better than to be left alone. And we become more sensitive, you know, hey, leave me alone. Just give me a few minutes. Let me get my head together. Sometimes you just need to give people space. That's a grace gift. All right? So, and it's good stuff. All right. Here we go. We're going to move through affection. Get ready. I'm going to try to wrap this up. Affection. Be generous with your hugs, handshakes, and your signs. Tiny actions demonstrate the love that you got on the inside. Romans 12:10, Philip's New Testament says, let us have real warm affection for one another as between brothers and a witness to let other men have the credit. Amen. Just, it's okay. It is okay. You know, it amazes me that I don't even tell, but it just blows me away that on Tuesday night after service, I turn on B5 and I didn't know if they were going to answer or not. And all of a sudden I talked to like five guys. One guy's up there, another guy, I see him waving. I say, I'll get you next. And then the other guy gets up. I say, I'll get you too. And they only get 15 minutes. And so if we run out of time, you call. And these guys, these big, burly, strong guys, just like Tuesday night, every time they hung up, every last one of them, when they went and hung up, they said, watch this.
We love you, man. Thank you. We love you. You see, people know when you really mean it. They know when you're really reaching out to them. Because they will respond. I promise you they'll respond. And then encouragement or communication. Shoot, I'm getting ahead of myself. Communication. I shouldn't have said E. I should say C. Amen. Communication. Listening. Try giving this to someone in need. Really listen. No interrupting. Just listen. Sometimes I have to sit on my lips. To just listen. If you're so busy interrupting, I'm going to tell you what happens. If I'm talking to you and it's really, I was talking to somebody the other day. They said, well, how's things going? And I told them. And they said, well, how's it going with your in-laws? And I told them. And something else was going on. How's it going? And we know Bethany, you know, is going to be with God. How's things going with that? And the whole time I'm talking to them, watch this. They're doing this. They're finishing my sentences. And now I find myself speeding up trying to get ahead of them. Because they're finishing my sentences. And finally, I just shut up. They didn't even notice. They weren't listening. Some of the biggest things you can do for people is just listen. Just listen. Because if you do that, I promise you, you will help somebody. You might not have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. If you can just learn to quit trying to fix it and just listen. You know, James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You know, I remember the very first lesson I got in this when I got in church. I was 19 years old when I got back in church. It was before D.C. was born. And I remember the biggest lesson the preacher said. He said, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. He said, do you ever wonder why God gave you two ears and one mouth? And I said, no, sir, why? He said, because he wants you to listen twice as much as you talk. And of course, my wife's beating me. All right. Almost through. Encouragement. You know, sometimes just a simple good job or good supper can be the greatest value to those who feel that they're being taken for granted. Have you ever tried to help somebody and they're arguing with you the whole time? You got to almost fight them to help them. And then when you get through helping them, they're still arguing with you. You know how you feel inside? Like, I don't know if I'm helping or not. I don't even know. I just know I'm feeling bad now. Make sure you don't do that. Talk to people. I don't mean make stuff up. You know, be truthful. When my mother-in-law got up the other day, I said, you sure look pretty today. And she looked in the mirror and she said, yeah, right. Don't lie to me. I said, I'm not lying. I didn't say you're getting ready to walk in a beauty pageant. I said, you just look nice this morning. She said, thank you. And her had a little bit of pep to her step. I could have lied and said, yeah, you look like you're ready to go in Vogue magazine. No. You know, don't tell me I look like I just stepped out of GQ. I look like I just stepped out of DQ. Compliment somebody. Help them because, you know, people are being beat up. They're being beat up. Encourage. God's word says, golden apples in silver settings, so is a word spoken at the right time. Now, or like golden apples in a silver setting, so is a word spoken at the right time, Amplified Version. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good as a medicine. A broken spirit dries up the bones. So watch this. And Brandon, come on up here and get ready to play something softly, bro. Brandon done an awesome job today. All y'all, matter of fact, everybody, the whole praise team was awesome. I always like it because they make me look good. That's right. Y'all making me look good. Amen. I just tell Mr. Fountain that all the time. He says, David, what you doing? I'm trying to make you look good, Mr. Fountain. Just hold on. Sometimes it took more effort than others, but we did it. Grace gifts have a loud voice. These gifts are personal, powerful, and they're plentiful. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even also you do. People are hurting. They don't need you to argue with them. They don't need you to tell them what you think they need to hear. Just try some of the grace gifts. Because when you try these grace gifts, it's amazing. Because if you just sit there and try to tell them what you think they need to hear and they're already stressed, you know what you do? Watch this. You come to me and you decide you're going to tell me what I need to hear. And you come to me and you're going to tell me how things really are. And you're going to just argue with me. You know what happens? You might not see it on the outside, but here's what happens on the inside. But try the grace gifts. But when you try the grace gifts when people are stressed out, guess what happens? Then you do this. Because everybody wants to be loved. Everybody needs grace. There's not a person. You know, I was telling somebody that said, well, isn't it hard to be up there in B5? You know, I go on Mondays and I do the counseling on Mondays, group, and I do individual counseling on Mondays. And somebody said, there got to be some rough guys. And I said, if you only knew. I said, I've ministered to guys that were professors, that had doctor's degrees, engineering degrees. There was guys in there, all walks of life. I said, so you got this in your mind that everybody's just big and bad in there. Some of those guys just were in the wrong place at the wrong time, doing the wrong things. And they need somebody not to go beat them up, but to love them. Just love them. And it's amazing how just giving them love, how it changes things. So now, I'm getting ready to close. Everybody stand up. Things are hard this year. We know that. But the question to ask is, not how am I going to get all this done with all these people with no money? Or am I going to do all this without any ability to get face to face? Ask this question. What would Jesus do? Well, that was played a long time ago. And as people got tired of it, what would Jesus do? They got tired of hearing it. No, I'm not tired of hearing it. Not at all. What would Jesus do? I can promise you that what he wants to do is work through you to stop this COVID stress. You can believe whatever he tells you, it's going to involve grace. And God will set up the opportunities. I went to the orthopedic doctor Friday. Of course, they were really made me really feel good. I said, my knees are hurting. It says, because you're getting old. I asked for a second opinion. He said, you're ugly too. When I went up to check in, there's a young lady in there that I hadn't seen in several years. And I'd even forgot that she had a daughter of Bethany's age. And I don't even know how it started. But she asked me, how was Bethany? And I said, I'm sorry. She died. And she just teared up. And she said, what happened? I said, she had cancer. And then she couldn't stop crying. She just could not stop crying. I gave her one of these, Team Bethany. God's got this. She said, my daughter's 27. And she said, she's very sick. And she said, oh, I just can't imagine. And that's when she said, how do you hold up? And I said, that's when I showed her this. And I said, Bethany always said, God's got this, Dad. God's got this. And I took it off and I put it on her arm. And she just couldn't, she couldn't even finish working on my paper. She said, I had to just go in and finish it. And I said, that was a divine appointment. Because her daughter was sick. And I know there's going to come a time when we get to work with her and her daughter and her husband, but the biggest thing was I was going for me. And instead, I realized it wasn't about me. It was about somebody else stressing. You never know, everybody bow your head. You never know what people are going through. But the stress levels are so high right now. People are about to explode, and they do. If there's ever been a time for grace gifts, it's now. You can go to Belt Tyler's and get them a shirt. You can go to Walmart and get them whatever, a toy. But you know what? The biggest thing people need is grace gifts. That toy is going to break. That shirt's going to fade away. But that grace gift, they will remember that forever. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First thing I'm going to ask, if you're here today, and this COVID stress has got to you, and it's actually taking you away from God instead of bringing you closer to Him, today's your day. God's got you. Maybe you're here today, and this COVID stress has got you over the holidays, and you're thinking, I don't know how to even keep up because I can't do anything like I used to do. I can't see the people I want to see. I can't go where I want to go. And I'm just so stressed out. Today's your day. Try grace gifts. Grace gifts. It's amazing what will happen because God gives us a promise. When you give grace, it's going to come back. I want us all just to pray together. Y'all pray aloud with me. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and mercy. Help me, God, not to allow this stress to get me from a far place away from you. But help me, God, to draw nigh. And God, help me not focus on the physical gifts. Help me to focus this year on the grace gifts. I thank you for it. Help me to give it. Because Lord, I know you promise it'll come back. And I thank you for it. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. God is so awesome. Now we're still going to have the parade, and you said so to stop at 3? Not the parade, but the rain. Okay, we heard it from Steve, it's going to stop.